Coach Taku.
Making anime your new life coach.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Coach Taku. This is Mary and I'm here with the wonderful Christina. And today we're going to be talking about Howl's Moving Castle by Hayao Miyazaki. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it because it's just charming, magical, romantic, adventurous, all in one. And the coaching conversation that we're going to bring to you about this beautiful anime is around essence and your highest being. So I thought I'd turn it over to Christina so that she can walk us through, like, what is essence and where does that lingo come from and a little bit more background.
Sure thing. And before I do, I also just want to give a shout out because this is the first time we're doing a movie. And I know that a lot of circles run debates of whether Miyazaki films count as anime. And clearly, since we're covering it here, we are in the yes camp. But with that being said, if you have other animated films, you know, produced by Japanese folks, like, and you're like, oh my God, if anything's game, you better cover this, like Your Name, for example, or Weathering with You, just some things in the docket on my fandom list, let us know. Comment on Instagram, shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. But circling back to what Mary said, so essence, what a luscious word. You know, Mary and I, we went through the same coach training program, which was accomplishment coaching. And essence is actually a word that they came up with to sum up the deepest, truest, most authentic part of who you really are. And so some of you might be listening and going, well, essence sounds really nice, but the core of who I am is shitty. or the core of who I am is argumentative, or the core of who I am is depressed. And I want to be super clear. This isn't a judgment. This isn't a judgment call on our assessment. But if you're thinking that about yourself, what I invite you to consider is that those qualities that we might perceive as negative aren't the core of who you are. They're actually mechanisms that you designed to be safe in the world. Whereas who you are, the highest and best, the essence, is actually as pure and wondrous as when you see a newborn baby. And so we're going to get into this a little bit more throughout this episode, but I think part of the reason why Howl's Moving Castle is an amazing choice for talking about essence in anime is because what we have been trained to notice as coaches is that when you ask most people most of the time who they are, they'll start with those negative things. They'll start with the mechanisms that they've created to survive and get through life. Whereas it actually requires other people to reflect what's wonderful and true about us. So, Mary, anything you'd add on essence?
I think that was beautifully said. And if you're interested in learning more about your particular essence, please let us know. We have this wonderful exercise that we walk people through so that they can discover their own essences. It's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun doing it. I know that Christina probably does too. And we'd be happy to bring that conversation to you.
Yeah. And so, why Howl's Moving Castle and essence together? Well, I'm going to give you a quick recap. If you haven't somehow seen this film, first of all, spoilers alert, we're going to talk about most of the film at this point. But in essence, what it's about is it starts in a town and in a hat shop. And one of the owner's daughters of this hat shop who works there, her name is Sophie. And what you come to realize about Sophie is she's fairly simple. Matter of fact, you know, dresses older than she is, doesn't really have many passions besides just living day-to-day life as a proper hat maker. And her world is more or less turned upside down, when first of all, she encounters the wizard named Howl, which is a total fluke thing, and we'll get into their encounter in a little bit. But in addition to meeting him, who is eccentric and wonderful in his own way, she also meets a character named the Witch of the Waste. And because she's rude to the witch responds by, you guessed it, cursing her. And specifically cursing her to have the appearance of a 90-year-old woman. And so this movie is basically following the journey of Sophie trying to break the curse and trying to do so while becoming Hal's companion and actually serving as his cleaning lady. So super adorable. And I think the other thing worth mentioning, just to fill you in for context clues, is as all of this is happening, Hal exists on a moving castle. In other words, it's a castle that literally is on legs that moves, but it also has magic doors that allows him to be in many places at once. And on Hal's side of the street, the reason this becomes complicated is many towns in the kingdom have demands of him that he struggles to meet the expectations of, especially because they're currently in wartime. Mary, anything you'd add on Hal? The movie as a whole?
I think you set us up really nicely. So if you're ready, let's just get into it. So essence. It's funny, like one of the things that right away sparked, and also just quick shout out to Robert for he's a coach, and he and I had this awesome watch party online where we went through the movie together, just bounced back ideas. So we're super grateful, very cool, very fun. And I think right off the bat, we see how both Sophie and Hal are kind of in their assigned roles. Like Sophie views herself as plain, not beautiful at all. Christina mentioned older, so she dresses like it. And when she's cursed as being an old lady, it's kind of like there's almost like this relief on her side, like, oh, well, yeah, of course. Now I get to wear these clothes and they actually fit me and suit me because now I'm old. And on Hal's side, there's like this superficial beauty that he's after. And he literally has no heart. Like his heart is outside of his body. And he's considered someone that goes after beautiful women and eats their hearts out. And that's all we know about Hal at the beginning. And this is all we know of Sophie at the beginning. So you can see that this is the way that they view themselves. And I think what the curse does is actually gives them an opportunity to break outside of this by connecting to each other.
Yeah, I love that. And so as a follow along, basically what we're asserting here is that Sophie's mechanisms, like the way that she views herself and the way she believes to be true about her is that she's plain, she's simple, you know, she's just sort of going about daily life. And as for Hal, he's eccentric, gorgeous, flippant, vain. Like there's a scene in this movie, it's so freaking funny to me, where Sophie rearranged the bottles in his bathroom. And so he accidentally dyes his hair red. And he is so consumed with grief about this that he literally like summons demons from the darkness. Like it is like the most dramatic temper tantrum I've ever seen in my entire life. But it perfectly encapsulates like this mechanism that we're talking about, like this thing that Hal fronts with that he believes to be true about himself. And he even references that several times, the same way that Sophie says like, oh, well, I was already old, so now my clothes fit me. You know, Hal makes flippant comments of like, oh, well, I'm just shallow and, you know, there's nothing worth, like, I can't go on living if I'm not beautiful. Like, that's true.
It was such a dramatic moment. And you see Sophie looking at him like, what? And she's like, I have never been beautiful a day in my life. And this is all you're basing yourself on. But it's exactly how they're relating to themselves in the beginning. It's like, that's all they see for themselves. And I think what's cool about this is that we see when Sophie actually reaches Hal, we see that he has this other side to him where he's actually secretively fighting the war. And he's out there putting himself on the line almost like every day to end this war, but he doesn't really talk about it. Nobody really knows about that side of him. And he does it almost like in a resigned way, I would say. What do you think, Christina?
Yeah, you know, you see Hal in the, I would almost use the word like martyr. Like there's a need for him to martyr himself. Like he has to use this magic this way. And he even says so. There's a scene where he's explaining to Sophie that when he graduated from Wizard Academy or Sorcery Academy, which apparently is a thing, there are all these guidelines and rules that he agreed to follow. And he insists that if it weren't for the rules or the guidelines, that he would just be a coward. And he even sends Sophie off at one point to speak to the king on his behalf to convince the king that Howl is a useless coward and can't get anything done. So again, a guy with flair for the dramatics, if nothing else.
Totally. And I think where we get to the essence conversation is when they actually start meeting and working with each other. And I think Sophie's journey actually starts a little bit earlier, because the thing is, there's something in Sophie that says, okay, I've turned into this older woman, but I actually don't want to stay this way. I'm going to go look for Hal and figure out if he can fix this. And that's so interesting to me, because as a person who considers herself plain and kind of resigned to her fate, there's still a part of her that doesn't want to stay in that. And then you see her become a little bit more daring, a little bit stronger as she goes into these wastelands that are full of, we can only assume, like bad magical things, alone in search of Howl, who's known to eat people's hearts out, or at least that's the reputation that he carries. But she goes anyway. And I think that just like the survival mechanism of being quote unquote older actually serves her to kind of say, well, the worst has happened and now I can actually do something about it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, as you're talking about Sophie and both her willingness to start to see herself for her essence, what I love about the movie is you also start to see, it's like the more time that she spends with Hal, the more that she's able to like reflect who he truly is. Like, she's actually the person, partially because she isn't quote unquote beautiful, or she is in this cursed body. Like, she's the one that challenges the, oh, well, you're just the frivolous magical coward who's beautiful and that's it. And so, you know, if we were thinking on in terms of essence, Mary, what would you say, like, what's the essence of Howl that Sophie actually gets to reflect and see in him that perhaps he doesn't see in himself at the start of the film?
I think Sophie views him as caring, as kind, as courageous. I mean, the first interaction that Sophie and Howl actually have is when he rescues her from a dangerous/difficult situation. And then she almost, she references to her sister, she's like, he's very kind. And that's something that Howl isn't really known for. And I think she, even when she's facing Solomon, the witch who's with the king and they're fighting a war together, she looks at him and she's like, you don't know Howl at all. Howl is kind and he's caring and he's brave. And as she's talking about him, you see her physical self shift again, kind of showing you that inner strength that she has that allows her, enables her to see people and view people in a different way.
Yeah, and I love you referencing the imagery that we see. For those of you that perhaps haven't seen the film or just need a reminder, when she says you see her shift, it means literally. Like, as Sophie reflects the essence of who Hal is and stands up for who he is, you literally see her physical appearance more from the cursed older woman back to the youthful, in my opinion, totally gorgeous face that she has. And I think that this is a super great coaching moment, because on one hand we say it takes other people to see your essence, but the other thing we say is that essence begets essence. And so I would assert that Sophie being able to see Hal for his essence puts her in her own. Like, Sophie being able to see Hal for his kindness, for his courage, and for his generosity, in turn has her able to be beauty, power, you know, standing for what she believes in, having confidence and voice.
I totally agree. Because the thing is, like, you see these moments throughout the film. I mean, here's Sophie as an older woman, but as you watch the film, there are these moments when she's standing up for someone else, where you see her start to change physically back into that younger person, back into who she is, like kind of her owning her power and her strength. And it's not, I want to be clear in saying that it's not like she's pushing the older part of herself out, that older image. It's almost like she's embracing the qualities of strength and daring that the older woman gives her access to, while still embracing her younger self. It's like loving all of it and embracing all of it.
Yeah, and you know, I think in turn, if we transition this a little bit, the same way that Sophie has the ability to see Hal for the kind and generous person that he is, Hal has this innate ability to see Sophie past how she sees herself. Because again, from this mechanism perspective, Sophie's plain, She's simple. She's not beautiful. You know, she lives her daily life. And it's Hal who actually reflects like, wow, you're pretty bold and courageous to wander through the wastelands and show up as my cleaner. Like, wow, you're really incredible that you can go and talk to Solomon and the king when I can't. Like, I don't know what I would do without you. And, you know, here we are talking about the imagery of the film, which, by the way, I feel like at this point we need a drinking game or something. Like every time Christina talks about visual storytelling in anime, we got a drinker or something. But I love it. And here's why I love it. Because as we mentioned, the same way that as Sophie owns herself, you see the young version of her reappear. There are these really beautiful moments in the film, often when Sophie is sleeping and no one else is around, where Hal looks at her and the Sophie that he's looking at is her younger self. And to me, it's such a beautiful, like those moments are so beautiful and tender because I think it encapsulates exactly what we're talking about. Hal doesn't look at Sophie and see a plain, simple old woman. He looks at Sophie and sees this tender, beautiful, passionate, daring, magical person. And there's a sweetness to that. And I think part of why seeing Sophie see Hal for who he is and Hal seeing Sophie for who she is matters so much is because it's also a great lesson of noticing who you surround yourself with. Like, I don't know about you, Mary, but something that really struck me in this film is how for both of them, the main people in their lives have those judgments of who they are. Like you see it, Sophie's mom and her sister Letty are like, oh, you're just so simple and plain and you're not living life to the most of your experience. And you see Solomon and Calcifer with Hal being like, oh yeah, he's eccentric and selfish and weird and dangerous. And I reference this because basically if you're listening to this and you notice that you have friends or colleagues that only ever agree with the shitty parts of you, you need new friends and colleagues.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, you know, they're both in their lanes and it's like, well, this is how people relate to me. This is how I relate to myself. And that's all there is to it. And they fall naturally into those roles. So how with the superficial beauty, how with being scared and hiding and running away, oftentimes running away from difficult situations because he can't handle them. And Sophie, on the other hand, like being that older, plain, resolved self, it's like they both kind of embraced that and said, well, this is the only option I have because, I mean, what else is there? And this is how everybody sees me. And then it's actually the opportunity that they have in coming together that allows them to break that. Because it's so different. Like for Hal, this isn't necessarily a quote unquote traditional beauty that he's used to. It's, you know, a cursed woman who looks older, but he loves her. And it's the opportunity to step outside of what he knows and to care for someone that actually brings out that protective nature, that brings out that strength, that brings out that desire to say, I'm not going to run anymore because I have something worth protecting. And then for Sophie, it's having this curse that actually gives her that daring to try something different, to try something new, because she's like, oh, I guess I'm old. So I'm going to just embrace this role and just not give a damn anymore. And I'm just going to be an old person. I don't care how it goes. But it's actually that daring and that strength that propels her to be able to act differently with Howl, with Calcifer, with the Witch of the Wasteland and all the other characters that are in the film.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of all the characters that are in the film, as much as I think Hal and Sophie are absolutely my favorites, I do realize that there's such a colorful, exceptional cast here. And so I was thinking before we wrap things up, maybe through the lens of how we would support these characters with expressing their essence, who would you want to coach, Mary, and why? What would you focus on with them?
Okay, can I just tell you that this isn't really, I love Sophie and I love Hal, but I actually wouldn't want to coach either one of them. I'd prefer to coach the Witch of the Wasteland. And here's why. Because this woman who is only after, she's the one who's after beautiful people and their hearts, beautiful men in particular. But she cursed Sophie. The curse that she put on Sophie was at the core of who she was. Imagine if this witch actually used her powers for good instead of for evil. I mean, she could transform lives. She would be like a coach in the making. So that's what I would work on her with. It's like, well, what's, because I think there's an underlying thing for her around being loved and having someone to love. And there's also that power in being able to see people in a different way, to see them at their core. So that's what I would work with her on. What about you?
Nice. I feel the same way. So first of all, my husband and Paul and I decided to rewatch this film over the weekend as well, so I could get ready for this episode. And fun fact, I'm not a big dub watcher, but we were just curious. And Christian Bale voices Howl in the English dub of this movie. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, it's Batman. Like, I can't unhear Batman. But similarly, the character that I would coach that I want to talk about is Calcifer, who in the dub is voiced by Billy Crystal, which that in itself is like flamboyant and luscious and amazing. But we didn't really talk about him much, but Calcifer is basically the fire demon who's responsible for fueling the castle to keep it moving. And what we learn is he's super victimized by having to do this stuff and waiting for someone to come along and break the contract that he has with Howl to allow him to be free. And so the reason I would coach Calcifer is because what you see over and over and over again with the power of his magic is that he's really freaking powerful. Like, he's a demon. He has control over fire. He's basically a living star. And what you realize is that the curse, quote unquote, is just that he has Howl's heart inside of him. And it's like, my dude, if you just sat down and like got present to your resources and present to how things got this way, you could have given this guy his heart back years ago and been done with it. And I get that then there wouldn't have been a movie, but I think the coaching moment is noticing when, like, I imagine if you're listening to this right now, take a look for yourself. Because if it's not you that's like this, you probably have a friend that's like it, where like, you are incredible. You are so smart. You are so resourceful. You have so many skills and talents, but then like the littlest thing is getting in your way. And that's what I noticed for Calcifer, is he's this magical, powerful demon who is just completely stopped and clueless on to handle this one thing that would give him the freedom that he wants so badly.
Beautifully said. Yeah. And again, like, if you're yourself curious and want to know more about your essence and what that highest self looks like, and are interested in actually going through the exercise, please reach out. Like, Christina and I are happy to work with you on that, and we'd have a lot of fun with it too. Also, I agree with Christina. I only watch subbed, but I've made the exception for this film, and it has an amazing cast, both in English and Japanese. So highly recommend, if you don't want to sit through subtitles, watch it in English. It's just as magical.
And Batman will save the world again. All right. Well, that was this episode of Coach Taku. We hope you absolutely loved it. Like Mary said, if you're interested in essence and want to know more, feel free to hit us up. And as I mentioned earlier, if you want us to do more Miyazaki films or more anime films in general, let us know, because I love them. They're my bread and butter. They're super awesome. There's amazing ones out there that all have like very deep life lessons, because they just get more screen time to cover it. But that's it for this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Follow us on Instagram if you're not already, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for watching Coach Taku.
If you liked this episode, please share it and consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode.
Have an idea for an episode or show you'd love us to discuss? DM us on our Insta, Coach Taku Pod, CoachTacuPod, or email us at CoachTacuPod@gmail.com.
Love your wonderful host? In that case, you can follow me, Christina, at HearXtinaRoar on Instagram, and you can follow Mary
at Raven5130 on Instagram.
Thanks so much. Catch you in the next one.